Chapter 20 and verse 17 reads like this. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departing, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to call your attention to just three or four verses in that whole reading, at the start of that reading, all right? So I'm in Acts chapter 20. I'm going to pick it up from verse 18 down through to 20. And I want to spend a little bit of time thinking about that with you this morning. And I do that because I didn't know what to talk about. And not knowing what I should talk about, I went for a walk on Monday afternoon, I think it was, and said to God, what do you want to talk about? And as surely as he was standing next to me, he said, I want you to go to Acts 20. And I looked at Acts 20 and thought, I don't know that I want to talk on that. It doesn't seem to be the kind of message that is going to bless the people in Sandy. And so I thought, okay. So I looked around for some other scriptures and kind of carried on. And Thursday evening, we're in a meeting trying to learn how to hear God, how to listen to what God has to say, knowing that the God that we worship is the God who continues to speak to us day by day. And at the end, they gave us 5 minutes just to sit and be silent and just ask God whatever you wanted to. And I sat there for 5 minutes and said, what am I supposed to preach on Sunday? And he said, Acts 20. And I said, I wasn't sure about that. He said, well, I know you're not sure, but I'm sure. And maybe you could just do what I ask you to do. So I went back again. And when I'd read through it the first time on the Monday night, these verses from verse 18 onwards, just those few verses, kind of grabbed my attention. There's so much you can say on that whole passage. But it was those three or four verses that just God spoke to me in really, as Paul gives a kind of summary of his life, a kind of short autobiography of the way that he's lived among people, knowing that he says in many other places, go do what I do. And he says to the whole church, go do what I do. Now he's coming to these people in Ephesus and kind of says, yeah, you know how I've lived among you. Now go live like that. Paul was interesting. Had I got longer, and my time's really already gone, which is what happens when you have so much before you get up to speak going on. But had I got time, I'd have read the whole chapter for you, because prior to this, Paul was speaking, and he began speaking at lunchtime. And at midnight, one of the young guys who'd been sitting listening to him for the previous 12 hours fell out of a window on the third floor and hit the ground underneath. And Paul rushed down and kind of prayed for him, brought him up still alive. And you'd think that having gone through that, many spoke for 12 hours, that's what I call a long sermon, all right? So I'm just trying to set up my time space. But what the scripture then says is, having got this young guy back to life, he carried on speaking till the sun broke. So 12 hours wasn't long enough for Paul. I wonder whether that experience of what happens if you've talked for a long time kind of meant when he came down to these people in Ephesus, he thought, I'll give you an abridgment of the message. And the abridgment of the message is about the manner of his life, about the method that he used, and about the message that he declared. And said, I want to encourage you to do the same. And he starts off saying, let me tell you about the manner of my life. You know, you've watched me, you know me. Well, some of you don't know me here because I've never met you, but some of you have seen me over the last few years as I've been coming in and out. But Paul said, you know how I lived among you. I was living among you for a couple of years. Well, actually, a little bit later on in the same passage as I read it, he tells them he lived there for 3 years. For 3 years, he lived among the people, talking to them. And he says, you know how I lived. I lived as a servant. The little word that he uses to say a servant is a word that says, I lived in devoted obedience. He says, I only ever did what I was told to do. Now, some of us who are married might kind of think, are you sure about that? Because I always try and do what I'm told to do. There was that kind of desire to do what somebody else wanted. The danger sometimes in churches is to always try and do what other people want to do. Sometimes we kind of live and we move things around and we adjust things and we try and change the way we are just to try and please the people. And Paul says, understand this, my devotion was never to try and please the people. He said, actually, I wasn't bothered what the people thought. My devotion was to the Lord. Because I'd learned early on, when I first got saved, Paul says, I learned that I was bought with a price. I didn't belong to myself. I belonged to God. He paid the price for my sins. He brought me into a relationship with himself. He changed the course of my life. And from that moment on, I knew that I owed him everything I had. And I gave it back to him and said, here's what I have. It's all for you. I will live in utter devotion and service. I will do whatever you ask me to do. I will go wherever you ask me to go. And I will live however you ask me to live. Then he says, in doing that, I did it in a way that was humble. I got a great definition of humility, because sometimes, you know, if you talk about humility, people get the wrong kind of idea. So I jotted a definition down and I thought, well, I'd read the definition to you if I can find it. And he talks about being humble. He says, humility, the word that's used here, humility, is the quality of having a humble opinion of myself, a sense of my own moral littleness, and a modest view of my own importance. Isn't that lovely? A humble attitude. a sense of my own insignificance and my own unimportance and my own moral inability. If you know anything about the Apostle Paul, you'll know that in another place he said, I want to tell you something that is really true, and everybody should agree with this. Christ Jesus died for our sins. He died for sinners. And then he says, and I'm the chief. As he puts it there, he actually says, I'm at the front of that list. It becomes us never to think of ourselves as better than the person we're next to. Church, I was listening to my mentor this week, and he said, you know, church has done evil in setting a hierarchy of sins, where the reality is, I'm as bad as you are, and you're as bad as I am. For the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Paul says, I'm a servant to the Lord, and I lived in humility for 3 years. Then he says, and as well as being a servant of God, walking in obedience, walking in humility, he said, the other thing that you can say about me is, nothing budged me from doing what I was supposed to do. He comes and says, you know what it's like? Everybody tried to stop me. When I left Bible college, and I didn't leave Bible college having finished the course, I left Bible college under a bit of a cloud. And a letter went out to about 1,000 churches in the UK saying I should never be allowed through the doors of a church ever again. And I finished up pastoring one of those churches. Which is just the way that God has his hand on you. But you look back and say, why did that happen? I remember talking to my mentor at the time, who's a man called Dr. Lloyd Jones, and he said, you know, the enemy will always try and stop us. And what makes us the servants of God is that no matter what people try and say, how, no matter how they try and stop us, we just keep going. I used to quote a song. Some of you will know this. Some of you are too young for this. But Elton John sang a great song. It was called, I'm Still Standing. And the enemies try to knock me down, I can't tell you how many times. And Paul says, you know, God's tried to keep me up while the enemies try to knock me down. And God has just been the one who keeps me going. He said, that's the manner of my life. So let me tell you about the method that I've employed. He said, whenever I was among you, I did one thing. I spoke. He actually puts it in a lovely way. He says, let me tell you. He said, I didn't shrink from declaring to you. That word declaring is a word that says he spoke. Now, most of us know how to speak. Not sure about some of you, but most of us know how to talk. He said, and I talked. And when I talked and I taught. So he said, whenever I talked, I looked to teach. Whenever I talked, I looked to teach. And whenever I teach, that's not a word, because it should be whenever I talked, I taught. Whenever I taught, I also testified. He said, whenever I was among people, nothing stopped me from opening my mouth. And I opened my mouth in order to teach. And I opened my mouth to teach in order to testify. Now, The word testify he uses is a little word that means nothing stopped him from being a witness. And he says, it didn't matter whether I was in public or whether I came to your home. The method I used to serve the Lord with all humility, no matter what happened, was to just keep talking. Now, Martin, as preachers, that's a joy. But he ain't just talking to preachers. He's talking to the people running the church in Ephesus. But he also says, all of you, be imitators of what I'm doing. So he's talking to all of us. So wherever you go, we talk. What do you talk about? We talk about something that enables us to teach something. What do you teach? We teach something that is a testimony of what we've discovered. His method was to talk. It's interesting. You look at the way that people try and talk about how you can grow the church. They have all sorts of different ideas. And Paul says the only way that works is to talk. And when you're talking, to teach. And when you're teaching, to make sure you're giving a witness statement. Because a witness statement, you can't argue with a witness statement. Because you witness to what you've known and what you've seen. And then he said, and when I talk, I run everything I'm saying and everything I'm teaching and everything I'm witnessing to, I run it through a filter. I cannot tell you how many times I've been in church and wished that people would run what they've got to say through a filter. And Paul says, my filter is this profitable? That word profitable is a little word that says, is it beneficial? Is it going to help? Is it going to do what it's supposed to do to bring blessing to those that I'm speaking to, teaching to, and witnessing to? And the message that he says is beneficial is really, really simple. He says his message that he talked about, that he taught, and that he testified of was repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. He said that's the only thing worth talking about. It's the only thing worth teaching. It's the only thing worth testifying to. Because it's the only thing that actually is profitable. So I've taken that minute of time today to tell you I've come to talk to you about repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. That's kind of my introduction, the first 2 points. Now I want to spend a little bit of time talking about what that means. Because you don't often hear people talking about repentance these days. That may not be true, because here, now you've got Martin here, he might be doing it every week he's speaking. But I travel around the place, you don't often hear messages on repentance towards God. And as a result, I don't think most people know what repentance towards God is. And yet Paul says that's the start of being profitable. And if you don't do that, you might have talked for hours and hours and hours. You could have talked for 12 hours until people have fallen asleep. Actually, some of the sermons I listen to, you could fall asleep after 5 minutes and still be blessed. Come on. I've been here often enough. We can be friends with one another. You know what it's like out there. You only have to watch YouTube and see some of the other stuff or wander around a bit. You discover what it's like. Paul says, if it ain't repentance towards God, it isn't profitable. That word repentance is a really fascinating little word. It's a word that means to change your mind. It means to change the way you think. It's all about how you think. You and I live in a world that is pounding our brains with ways to try and change the way we think. Ways to try and adjust our mind. To try and get our thinking and our mind to fit what the world wants us to think. And Paul says the most important thing you need to do is know about how to think the right thing. And I want to come to you and I want to teach and I want to speak about and I want to testify to the fact you can change the way you think. You know you can change the way you think because if you sit down and put 24-hour news on your telly and sit there for 24 hours, it will depress you. And that's before things happened in America. It's before they take you around some of the world's war zones. If they just talk about what's going on in this country, it will depress you. It will instill fear and anxiety within you because the world wants to hold you in fear. So whenever you allow the world to speak into your mind, you need to be careful. My job is to change the way you're thinking. You say, how am I supposed to change the way? I want to tell you, you're supposed to change the way you think so that you change and you begin to think the way that God thinks. That's why he said repentance towards God. He says, you change your mind to become the thinking that God has. You say, what's God think? I'll tell you what God thinks. God has a thought pattern about the world. He has a thought pattern about himself. He has a thought pattern about you. He starts off and says, I am the everlasting God. I change not. What I said yesterday is still true today. What I declared in the world thousands of years ago is still true today. You can absolutely depend on it. You can't depend on anything else, but you can depend on what God's right. So you say, what do? You start by reading your word of God. You read the scriptures. You come and you listen to speaking that tells you, what does God think about himself? He is the Almighty. He is the Eternal. He is the All-Knowing. That's a lot. If he's all-powerful, there's nothing he can't do. If he's eternal, he lives in yesterday the same as he lives in tomorrow. He already knows what I've got happening tomorrow. I've got plans, but I don't know if they'll come to pass. He already knows. He lives in tomorrow. If he's the all-knowing, I don't need to hide anything. He knows the state of my heart and he knows the state of my mind. On top of that, he is the ever-loving God. He's not against you. He draws us with cords of love to himself. He's not out to get you. He's out to give you life and blessing and hope for tomorrow. No matter who you are, what you are, where you've been, what you've done, it makes no difference. His mind, he thinks on you. And I'll tell you what he thinks about the world. He says that world is a dead world. It's groaning for the time that I redeem it. But at the moment, the world is held in the grip of the evil one. That's why we don't allow the world to change our thinking. We allow God to change. Then he says, let me tell you about yourself. I read about myself in the scriptures and I read and discover I'm a dirty, rotten sinner who deserves nothing but condemnation because of my rebellion against God. But he tells me that despite all that, he's loved me with an everlasting love, and he's laid my sin and my iniquity and my rebellion on Jesus the Christ, in order that I am no longer needing to be under condemnation, but can be the recipient of life that's eternal life that walks with him. And I begin to change my mind. And I begin to think, if that's true, no matter what happens when I walk out the door, he's still the God that wants to bless me. When you discover what it's like to change your mind, to begin to think that what God says is true, you understand why he then says, let me tell you the next step in profitability. Put my teeth back in. Says the next step is, when you know that what God says is true and you begin to think what God thinks, you have faith in Jesus Christ. Now, again, don't misunderstand the word faith. Faith is not just about believing. One of the problems with the creedal statements that we just say, we believe in God the Father, we believe in God the Son, we believe in God the Spirit. It's not an assent to statements of truth. They are statements of truth. Don't misunderstand me. They are statements of... But you can assent to the statements of truth and it not bless you. Say, are you sure about that? Yeah. Remember this one? There was a guy in the book of Acts who saw the way that Paul performed miracles. And he said, I'd like to do that. So he tried to do it. And the demon that he tried to cast out said, I know Paul. And I know Jesus. I know who they are. I know all about them. But who are you? Which just reminds us that to say, I know about Jesus and I believe that who he is, the devil believes that. This word faith is a word that speaks about an absolute reliance and dependence on. So what Paul says is this. We change our minds to understand what God is like, to understand what the world is like, to understand what I'm like by nature, to understand what he's done for me, and to understand that as a result, my only hope is in Jesus the Christ. He is my hope for life. He is my hope for eternity. He is the one that I depend upon. He is the one that I am resolved to always trust. He is the one of whom I say, the Lord is my shepherd. What else could I want? I don't know where you are this morning, but I do know this, that God brought you here this morning because he wanted to say something to you. And what he wanted to say, and this is all he wanted to say, the only thing that will ever profit you is understanding and knowing the thoughts of God and letting those thinking take you to a place of absolute dependence and reliance on the truth of Jesus the Christ. And when that grips you, you will find that wherever you go, you speak about him. Wherever you go, you teach about him. Because wherever you go, you testify of what you've discovered. And it profits and turns the world upside down. And I believe that same message that turned the world upside down in Paul's day can turn Sandy upside down today. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the power of your word. And yet, we know, oh Lord, that the power of the word only touches hearts and lives by the ministry of your Spirit. And so now, in these moments, I just ask you, move across each one of us. by the power of that eternal Spirit who alone brings life. Write your word on each one of our hearts. Instill within our thinking your thoughts. Forgive and take from us anything that was said that was unwise or not in line with truth. And grant, O Lord, that as we go forth from this place, we might know we've heard things that have profited us, and that we might go out to talk, to teach, and to testify of him who loved us enough to die for us. Amen.